We have to fight what's called the good fight. Amen? I've never been in a good fight in my life. They've always been a bad fight. But you know what? When we fight the good fight, the fight that God has given us, it's always a good fight. And the reason it's a good fight is that we know that we win no matter what. Amen?
Why do you run from me?
Are you running from the love of God? God's love never fails. Welcome to Love Never Fails, the radio ministry of Calvary Chapel, Fort Worth, with Pastor Bill Quinn. Well, good day to you. We're delighted that you're joining us. On the program today, Pastor Bill concludes the book of Esther with part two of the message, God is in control. Now, Pastor Bill.
Not only that, it says they had joy and gladness and honor. And in every province, in every city, wherever the king command and decree came, the Jews had joy, they had gladness, they had a feast, they had a holiday. And then many of the people of the land became Jews, or literally they stood with the Jews because a fear of the Jews fell upon them. And now in chapter 9, the 12th month, that is on the month of Adar, again, March or April, on the 13th day. Now, the time came for the king's command and his decree to be executed. That was Haman's first decree to kill all of the Jews, okay? And on that day, the enemies of the Jews had hoped to overpower them. The opposite occurred, in that the Jews themselves overpowered those who hated them. Now listen, the Jews were given now, what, about 9 months to prepare. They got the new decree. They're ready. They're ready to stand. They're ready to fight all those who attack them. And the Jews gathered together in the cities throughout all the provinces of the king to lay hands on those who sought to harm them. And no one could withstand them, but fear fell upon all the people. And you know why? Because of God. Because God was there even though he's unseen. And all the officials, the provinces, the satraps, the governors, and all those who were doing the king's work helped the Jews because of the fear of Mordecai fell upon them. So now Mordecai, the second in command to all of the provinces, there to the king. And Mordecai was great in the king's palace. His fame spread everywhere. In other words, he became more powerful and so forth. And thus the Jews defeated all of their enemies with the stroke of the sword and with slaughter, destruction. And it pleased those that hated them. In other words, it was a reversal of Haman's plan. They weren't just happy about killing people, okay? And then the Jews killed and destroyed 500, and it goes on. But look at verse 7. We've got to do this. I'm not going to pronounce these words, okay, these names. If someone wants to help me, you can come up here. But let me give you the names in their language. Also, given by prayer, the next one is dripping. The enticed gathered. Poor thought means fruitfulness or frustration. I would say frustration. The next name means I shall be drawn up of Yah. And then Adritha means the line of the decree. And then superior. And then the line of my banners. Then the line is enough. And then strong is the wind. And look at this. These are the 10 sons of Haman, the enemy of the Jews that they killed. But they did not lay a hand on the plunder. In other words, the Jews only defended their right to live. Three times in this text, it'll tell you, the Jews never touched the plunder. They didn't want it. They just wanted to live. And on that day, the number of those who were killed in the citadel and so forth, it goes on. It tells you the number. But I want you to look here where it says in verse 12 that the Jews have killed and destroyed 500 and the 10 sons of Haman. That was those names that I just read. And what they've done in the rest of the provinces. Drop down to verse 13. And Esther said, if it pleases the king, let it be granted to the Jews who are in Shushan to do it again tomorrow according to today's decree. So let's repeat it one more day. Now watch this. Esther says, and let Haman's 10 sons be hanged on the gallows. And so the king commanded this to be done. The decree was issued in Shushan, and they hanged Haman's 10 sons. Now, you know that they didn't hang people back then. They put them on and impaled them, okay? Now, verse 10 just told us that Haman's 10 sons had already been killed. And Esther wanted to take the bodies and display them for everyone to see. Now, listen to me. Do you ever come to a place in the Bible and you go, Why did the Lord do that? I mean, why did the Holy Spirit give us 10 names that I can't pronounce and that you can't pronounce and you don't even care to pronounce them? In matter of fact, not only that, why did the Lord do that? And we're never going to use those names. We're never going to remember those names. You're never going to name any of your children after any of those names. And here they are right before us. He gives us all of that information. But yet when we go to the book of Genesis chapter 1 verse 16, it says, "And God, he made the stars also." A little bit more, Lord? Maybe some more information there? Five words? Or you go into Revelation, 13, 18? "And this is the number of man. And he who has wisdom and understanding, let him understand that the number is 666. I mean, why didn't God give us a little bit more information about that? You ever ask yourself those questions? Are y'all with me tonight? I mean, you're not inquisitive? I mean, I don't want to know the names of those boys that died. I mean, I'm being honest with you. I mean, I'm not going to do a tremendous Bible study on those names, even though I gave you the meaning of their names, to torment you. You know, when I say, "Lord, there's so many things I'd like to know more in depth, and here you give me that." I don't know why, except, you know, the only thing I can reason is this. God wanted everyone to know that the Jews now are in complete victory. But more than that, that all of Haman's sons, now that they're all gone, no one can ever challenge Mordecai and Esther from that lineage ever again. Maybe that's why he did that. Let me tell you what one writer told me. I didn't know this, by the way. It says, in the text of the Hebrew Scriptures, the 10 names of those boys that I just read were arranged on the page of the Hebrew Scriptures to look like gallows. And on the Feast of Purim, which we'll talk about in a moment, the synagogue reader reads these 10 names of the sons all in one breath because the sons of Haman all died together. Very interesting. Verse 16. "Now the remainder of the Jews in the king's provinces gathered together, protected their lives from the rest of their enemies, killed 75,000, and so forth." Now look at verse 17. "On the 13th day and on the 14th of the month, they rested and they made it a day of feasting." They made it a day of gladness. "But the Jews who were in Shushan assembled together on the 13th day and the 14th and on the 15th of the month." And look what they did. "They rested. They made it a day of feasting and gladness. Therefore, the Jews of the villages who dwelt in the unwalled towns, they celebrated the 14th day of the month of Adar," again, March, April, "with gladness, feasting, holiday, sending presents one to another." You know, they won. Amen? Do you know sometimes we don't win? Oh, we always win, no matter what. But sometimes we don't win. And you know what I'm saying? In the battles that we face. I mean, we win in the end. There's no doubt about it. But you know, I look at this and you know what? They had to fight. And we have to fight. We have to fight what's called the good fight. Amen? I've never been in a good fight in my life. They've always been a bad fight. But you know what? When we fight the good fight, the fight that God has given us, it's always a good fight. And the reason it's a good fight is that we know that we win no matter what. Amen? No matter what you're facing tonight, no matter what you're going through, you're going to win in the long run. Amen? We need to remember that. It says in 1 John 5:4, John writes, he says, "Whatever is born of God," listen, "whatever, whoever is born of God overcomes the world." That's it. The only qualification for overcoming this world is to be born again. Isn't that amazing? I'm born again. You've overcome the world. Why? You're in the one who's overcome the world. It says, "Whoever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith." Now listen, our faith, not our fighting. Do you understand? It's our faith. That is the fight, the good fight of faith. Oh, loved one, he goes on and he says, "Who is he who overcomes the world but he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God?" Listen, that is a promise. And the only way it's going to be a possession to any believer is not to fight for it, you already own it, but is to believe it. You see, faith is the means. Where there is no faith, loved one, there is no victory. It's impossible to please God without faith. It's impossible, not difficult. It is impossible. Now look at verse 20 quickly. We're going to go through this and I'm going to make a quick application. Lengthy reading, so bear with me. And Mordecai wrote all these things, sent letters to all the Jews near and far, and they were all in the provinces of the king, to establish among them that they should celebrate yearly the 14th and the 15 days of the month of March, Adar. And as the days of the Jews and the rest of their enemies, as the month which was turned from sorrow to joy for them, from mourning to a holiday, that they should make these days or them days of feasting and joy and sending presents one to another and gifts to the poor. So the Jews accepted the custom. Remember, it's a custom. It was not commanded from the law of Moses. So they accepted the custom which they had begun by Mordecai, what is written to them, because Haman the son, they said, the enemy of all the Jews, plotted against the Jews to annihilate them, and had cast Pur, that's where we get Purim. That word is a Babylonian word, which means lot. Remember, Haman cast the lot. So cast Pur, that is the lot, to consume and destroy them. But when Esther came before the king, he commanded by letter that this wicked plot which Haman had devised against the Jews should return on his own head, and the son should be hanged on the gallows. So they call these days Purim, after Pur, again, that Babylonian word which means lot. And that's how Haman, remember what he did, he cast Pur, or lots, to the Babylonian gods to determine the exact day, which would be the best day to have all of the Jews, or make it a legal day to kill all the Jews in all of the provinces. So that's what that was about. Therefore, because of all the words of this letter, and we drop right on down, let's go to verse 28, that these days should be remembered, kept throughout every generation, every family, province, and so forth, that the days of Purim should not fail to be observed by the Jews, and that the memory of them should not perish among their descendants. So, you know, Haman, remember what he did again. He cast those lots. He wanted that exact day for his gods to reveal them the best day to kill all of the Jews. But see, God is in control. Haman had no idea that the day that he chose was going to turn out to be a day of victory for the Jews and a day of their celebration, a brand new celebration called the Feast of Purim. Now listen, that day is still celebrated even today. Not because they killed people, but a day of rest, a day of joy, a day of giving gifts to the poor. It's a wonderful, glorious time. The Bible says in Proverbs 16:33, the lot is cast into the lap, and every decision is from the Lord. So verses 29 and following, it just talks about the remains of what Queen Esther did and how they wrote all these things out. So the Feast of Purim is again celebrated today in all the local synagogues. It's done so in March. And they read then from the book of Esther. They fast, they pray, they send gifts to the poor, just like it's mentioned right here. And each time that they come to Haman's name as they read the complete book of Esther, they start shouting and they start stomping their feet and they say, let this man be accursed, let his name be blotted out forever. Even the little children today, they're given a little rattle. You know, those little rattles? It's called the Purim rattle. And whenever Haman's name is mentioned, they start shaking that rattle and so forth to make all the noise that they can. Now, chapter 10, quickly, we're going to finish this up. And the king imposed a tribute on the land and the islands of the sea, so the acts of his power and his might on the count of his greatness. And then it says that Mordecai, the king advanced him, are not they written in the book of Chronicles of the kings of Media and Persia? For Mordecai the Jew was second to the king and was great among the Jews and well received by the multitude of his brethren. And here's the reason, because he was seeking the good of the people. So he worked for them, the good of the people, and seeking peace to all the countrymen. You know, listen, that's what our great God and Savior, the great shepherd of the sheep, does. Amen? Man, loved one, listen, he is always seeking our good. You understand? He's seeking our good. He's also, loved one, speaking peace to us. I pray tonight, we finish this great book. It's been a great study, but listen, until our Lord comes, in which it could be tonight, it may be tomorrow night, it may be next week, it may be 100 years, I don't know the day, I do not know the hour, I'm only commanded to be ready, to be watching, just like you are. But until Jesus comes, listen, never forget that God is in control. You know, when you're a young Christian, you say, Bill, it can't be true. Look at all this happening. I think the doctrine of divine providence is staggering because we don't see We don't know the beginning from the ending, do we? I mean, if we were watching, like the parade that we have we're getting ready to have a parade at Christmas, that goes through the city. We see the beginning of the parade, and we have to stand there in the cold or the rain. And of course, I'm not. I'm going to stay home. But those who go down there, and then finally the last people go by, and you see who's there, okay? But if I was on top of one of the tall buildings, I could see the beginning of the parade and the ending of the parade. Amen? I'd see all of it. Jesus, he is the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning and the ending. He knows everything. There isn't anything that Jesus doesn't know. Nothing. He knows absolutely everything. God is in control. God is directing this universe right this moment. It says in Psalm 103:19, the Lord has established his throne in heaven. His kingdom rules over all. I read an article this morning on the newspaper about Stephen Hawking. You know who? He just died this past March. I think he was probably about 76 years of age. And he was considered to be one of the most brilliant scientists, physicists in this generation. And I have to agree that he was a very brilliant man. Before he died, he was trying to finish his final book with all the questions from all of his readers, because he's very respected and very loved, and boy, people just follow his every move, if you will. So after he died, his family decided to finish the book for him, and it's just been released. It's on the bookshelves. I'd like to quote one area of the book where he says this. Mr. Hawking says, "There is no God, and no one directs the universe." He knows better now. You remember the book of Job? That would be the next book after Esther, which I can't do that with the Christmas season coming up, you know what I mean, and Thanksgiving. So I'll wait till the first of the year to torture you with that book. The last time I taught Job, I entitled it, remember the theme, the happiest book in the Bible. I believe it is. I may do that again, but here's the thing. You remember from Job, and when Job, God cries out to Job in Job 38:4, he says to Job, "Job, where were you when I laid the foundations of the earth? Where were you when I made the stars and all? Where were you?" That's what I'd like to say to Mr. Hawking. He's probably asking the same question. Poor man, people that don't believe in the Lord. It says in there in the article I read, Mr. Hawking's final message to his readers and attempting to answer their questions for one of his readers was this question: how do we shape the future? In the book's final chapter, he writes this. He answers that question. He says, how do we shape the future? He says, remember to look up at the stars and not look down at your feet. Dear God, you know what the Bible tells us in Psalm 121? It says, I will lift mine eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help. My help comes from the Lord, who made the heavens and the earth. Amen. Listen, loved one, Mr. Hawking, it's okay, I'm not beating him up, but all he saw was the stars. He never once saw the God who made the stars. Our hope, the world's hope is in, that hill over there, or my government. No, no, no. That's your help. You're going to fail, man. Our help, all of our help, when we sleep, when we're lonely, when we're faithless, and he remains faithful, when we don't know what to do, when we cry out to him and we feel that he doesn't hear us, when we hurt inside and we feel that he doesn't feel our pain, or when we are directionless, I tell you, he sees, he knows, he cares. And if you are a believer, he will get you home. He never fails. He never sleeps. He never slumbers. Never once. Trust in the Lord. That's what the psalmist says. Trust in the Lord. Do you trust in him tonight? I pray that you do. Trust in the Lord how? With all of your heart. Lean not unto your own understanding, but acknowledge him in all of your ways, and he shall direct your paths. Trust in the Lord. Do good, the psalmist said in Psalm 37. Do good. Do good while you can. Amen? As long as you have the opportunity, do good to people. Dwell in the land. No, that word means live. Loved one, live while you have time. Live right now. Some of you are burdened tonight. Some of you are looking back at things tonight going, well, this is troubling me. That is troubling me. And my friends are troubling. Listen, don't look at them. Look at the author and the finisher of your faith, Jesus Christ. Get back into the Word of God. Look at the promises of God and say, God promised that to me, and He's a God who cannot lie. Amen? We can lie, but God can't. He knows, He sees, He cares. And if you're in Christ, you're going to make it. He who began a good work in you will complete it until the very day of Christ Jesus. Amen? He sealed you. It says He sealed you with the Holy Spirit until the day of what? Redemption. Not just, well, you might make it 6 months. I might be able to keep you for a year, you lousy thing. No. He says, I have sealed you with the Spirit of promise until the very day of redemption. When this body becomes a brand new body and we're home with the Lord, that means heaven forever and ever and ever. Amen? God, He's not going to lie to you. It says, do good, dwell in the land. And then you know what the psalmist said? Feed on His faithfulness. What are you eating? If you're discouraged tonight, I love you. I'm not beating you up, but I'm encouraging you. What are you feeding on? Don't listen to the world's lies. Don't let the world just, okay, here it is. I'm going to go with this tonight because this makes me happy, or maybe this will just get me through the territory. I don't want to get through the territory. I'm running a race, and so are you. I have a perfect path designed by Almighty God. He says, this is your race, Bill. There's your path. Get on it. It's called the narrow way. It's narrow, but it leads to life. Listen, we have won. Feed on His faithfulness. Every minute, the steps of a righteous man are ordered, established by the Lord. Remember, Pur is talking about casting the lots. Let me read that scripture again, if you don't mind. In Proverbs 16:33, it says, the lot is cast into the lap. I love this. Now watch. That's what Haman did. He cast it out. Okay, when are we going to kill all the Jews? He said, but it's every decision is from the Lord. And that's what we would want. Lord, what's your decision? Not my decision. Not my will, but thy will be done. Amen? Lord, what do you want from me? Some of you say, well, Bill, maybe tonight, maybe you're listening live. You're sitting at home. You're on your couch right now, and you're going, you know, it's wet outside, and I'm tired, it's gloomy, and you know what? I feel far from God. Well, I want you to know something. God's not far from you. We do not walk by sight the way we feel. We walk by faith. I tell you tonight, He's not far from you. But you don't know what I'm going through. He does. And let me tell you what God is doing, because He's in control. He is standing in the shadows. Oh, yeah, the unseen God. He's standing right there in the shadows. And you know what He's doing? He's keeping watch over you always and always and always. The Bible says in Psalm 48:14, I think it is, maybe it's another chapter, I don't know, that God is our guide even unto death. Even unto death. He'll guide me then. The last thing in my life that happens on this stinking planet, He says, oh no, Bill, I'm going to guide you then. I'm going to get you home. I'll never leave you. I will never forsake you. You know why? God is in control. He's a God of history. It's His story. And you know what He's doing? He's moving our today into His tomorrow. And one day He's going to move our day into His eternity.
On Love Never Fails next time, we will begin a series from Pastor Bill's study from the Old Testament book of Nehemiah. And Nehemiah is a great study on leadership, and we hope you'll take this opportunity to journey through Nehemiah along with Pastor Bill. Thanks, as always, for the privilege of your time. We appreciate you so much. Have a wonderful day, and until next time, may the Lord bless you. If you'd like more information regarding Calvary Chapel Fort Worth, Love Never Fails International, or the Love Never Fails radio broadcast, please visit our website at ccfortworth.org. or download the CCFW app. Pastor Bill would also like to personally invite you to join us for any of our three services here at Calvary Chapel Fort Worth. For service times and directions, please visit ccfortworth.org or call our toll-free number, 866-729-1999. That's 866-729-1999. If you're unable to worship with us in person, our live streaming allows you to join us virtually via the CCFW app, Apple TV, Facebook, YouTube, or our Roku channel. So, until our next broadcast, may we encourage you with these words. Love bears, believes, hopes, and endures all things. Love never fails.